Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief, and I am here today with a little more intimate group. Where is Joe Haley?
Joe, he chose not to come
He's
in
He's on vacay.
He's caulking. He's doing caulking at home.
He has bathroom things to deal with.
Okay, Joe Haley's caulking his bathroom. Mm-hmm. And Michelle, you've decided to move seats today, I guess.
Musical
I
chairs.
You're going to pretend to be Joe, is that right?
Without so, the rant. Sans the rant.
Maybe you could rant.
Maybe we could get a rant out of you. I have nothing to rant about.
You're all
really?
About what?
Happiness and light flowers. That's how I always look at you. All right, so.
Me too. Happiness
Andy
and
Cohen
light
here,
flowers.
Editor of Counselor Magazine. That's Andy, me. We have a short week. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'll be at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in the morning.
Which
in
you
New York City.
Every year. How many parades have you attended?
Oh, wow. I would guess I've probably attended
40?
30. I couldn't have attended 40 because I'm not 40 years old.
What's your favorite float of all time?
The favorite balloon?
Yeah. Float, balloon.
It's a balloon.
Okay.
Please. Sorry. Get it right.
Snoopy?
Yeah, I was going to say Snoopy.
Really?
Because he's been around since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. I mean,
well, that's great.
If I've been to 30 of these parades, Snoopy's been at all of them.
Well, you enjoy.
Oh,
Kathy
I will.
Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages Magazine, is here. Kathy, I know you're not cooking turkey because I think the last time you had a family event, you... Set the stove
on fire. Oh, that was a few years
fire.
Ago. Get over it.
Oh, sorry. What are you doing for
Wait,
Thanksgiving?
Wait, you set the stove
Go to my
on
sister's.
Fire?
She did.
The turkey
there was an
went on fire.
Fire.
No
the
big deal.
The turkey went on
no
fire?
Big
did
deal.
It actually burn?
There were no injuries.
And your mother-in-law
what about
made
to the
a
turkey?
Snarky comment, maybe?
Yes, my mother-in-law said, that's because there's too much oil in the pan.
Hmm. Okay.
What's and oil
said,
doing
you
in
go
the pan?
Drink your martini and pipe down.
Michelle Bell.
Did you end up, like, ordering Chinese food or something?
No, it was fine.
Oh, okay.
Michelle Bell, editor of Supply of Global Resource, is here in Joe Haley's spot. And, Michelle, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I am going to Florida to see my parents.
Sunny Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Sunny Thanksgiving.
That's
nice.
And I'm sure you'll be roasting a turkey while you're there.
I will be roasting me on the beach when I'm there. No turkey, though.
Have fun with that. Oh, and Rich
Fairfield,
hopefully
you don't
our
catch
publisher.
On fire like Kathy's turkey.
Popped in at the 11th hour. Rich, will you be making a turkey this year? I know you're a good cook.
I am making a turkey, ASI turkey that we got last week.
Ah, I'm making my ASI turkey as well. And, of course, we have Steve Hawk manning the tech booth, and Vinny Driscoll is going to be answering your phone calls today. Call us at 215-953-4979. Tell us what's on your mind. One topic we'll be discussing is tips for throwing an employee holiday party on a budget. So if you have any questions about employee festivities on a budget, call us 215-953-4979. And we will be giving out $25 Visa gift cards today to whoever we put on the line. Michelle, tell us what else is on tap for today's show.
Well, in addition to that, Kathy will tell us about 8 pre-recovery marketing tips. Andy's going to discuss a market confidence index that shows economic sentiment among small businesses, and I think that there's signs of optimism there. I'm going to be discussing the marketing for the Twilight movie New Moon, which is just a huge, huge blockbuster. We're going to talk about expert tips on how to build trade show sales. Then Andy's going to discuss whether LinkedIn, Twitter, or Facebook is better for business-to-business marketing. We'll talk about how to give a constructive performance feedback, and the 10 best-performing cities of 2009, in addition to some other topics.
Okay, thanks. And Andy's got the industry news.
Thank you. Top 40 supplier Leeds was the victim of a cyber attack over the weekend. The company's website has been shut down by hackers who overloaded the company's servers. Leeds has set up an alternate website and is directing distributors to its customer service department. Leeds doesn't yet know when its main site will be back up and running. The state of California threw a bone to promotional products businesses last week. The state's Alcohol Beverage Commission now allows retailers to give away promotional items to beer consumers of any value up to $3 apiece. The previous limit on these promotional giveaways by beer retailers in California was 25 cents. Russell Athletic, parent company of industry supplier Russell Artwear, agreed last week to rehire 1,200 factory workers in Honduras. Russell had been the target of anti-sweatshop protests since it closed the factory last January, and numerous American universities had severed their apparel licensing agreements with Russell. The company has now agreed to open a new plant in Honduras as a unionized factory. Plus, in Promogram today, make sure to check out our latest new products edition of the Joe Show. Joe's not here, but it is no doubt a winner.
How is Joe going to do the Joe Show when he's not here?
He already did it in advance.
Ah.
He's on the ball.
Because nothing can get in the way of the caulking project, the massive 2009 caulking project.
All right. Thanks very much, Andy. We're going to start taking calls now. If you have any questions about how to celebrate the holidays with employees on a budget, give us a call now, 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air, we'll give you a Visa gift card. And we have Elaine on the phone this morning who has a question for us. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. First of all, I want to say have a happy holiday, everybody.
Well, thank you.
And I wanted to give a little insight on what I did for the company.
Okay.
First, we normally have employee of the month every month, but I decided to change it to employee of the quarter for the last 3 months. Normally, the employee of the month gets $250 cash, but what we did was we made everybody employee of the quarter, and we gave them out a free turkey or a free ham for them to have for the holidays for their family. And then what we did for the party, to keep it nice and simple, we had everyone bring in some food and make their own dishes, and we also ordered out a little bit, and we had it in-house, and it turned out very festive and great on a budget.
That sounds really great, Elaine. And here at ASI, they gave out, you have a choice of turkey or a pie, and I have to say it's one of the most look forward to events of the year. Would you say, Rich?
I agree.
Today is Pie Day.
Today is Pie Day.
I love Pie Day.
I can't wait. What kind of pie did you get, Andy?
I believe I have two coming to me. One is a pecan pie and one's a pumpkin pie.
I love Pie Day.
Oh, pecan pie sounds delicious.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Elaine. Have a great Thanksgiving and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you, too.
On line three, we have distributor Jeremy. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hey, gang. How you guys doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Real good.
You're happy this morning.
I'm always happy.
Okay, good.
I'm always happy.
Jeremy, what's your question?
Yeah, I'm throwing a holiday party for employees, and I was wondering, should I give them a small gift, too? I don't have a big budget, so I guess I'm looking for something cool that's not expensive at all.
Absolutely. What do you think, Michelle? What kind of small gifts should Jeremy give his employees?
I think that you could find something cool that doesn't cost a lot of money. I think if you have employees who are golfers, maybe personalized golf balls. Okay. I think that for women, maybe some candles or soaps, things that aren't expensive but that maybe are made by local artisans, and food. Food's always good.
Yeah.
I think food is good. Gift cards are good, too. I mean, even in small amounts, people appreciate that this time of year.
Or you could do something like getting gourmet popcorn and getting like a Blockbuster gift card or a gift card from, you know, some sort of DVD rental place.
Like a kit.
Like a kit. We love kits. Ready-made
gift,
kits.
Gift basket.
All right. Well, good luck, Jeremy. Hope that gives you some ideas.
Thanks. It does.
And stay on the line. We're going to pause right now for our commercial from today's show sponsor, ESP. When we return, we'll take more of your calls at 215-953-4979.
This installment of ASI Radio is sponsored in part by ESP, the industry's number one sourcing, marketing, and business management tool. Did you know virtual samples close at an incredible rate of 15 to 25%? Learn more about ESP virtual samples at www.asicentral.com/store.
We're back at ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we're taking your calls and talking about throwing an employee holiday party on a budget. And we have another caller, Pat, on line two. Good morning, Pat.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Pat, what's your question?
So I want to give my staff holiday bonuses this year. I'd like to thank them for the great job they do. So I'm going to do a holiday party. I know you guys are a creative group. Do you have any suggestions for how I should get a lot of bang for my buck with this holiday party?
Well, I think Rich Fairfield might have a suggestion because he has an awesome holiday party every year at his house. And so we save money on the venue for sure.
That's right. We don't have to pay for the venue.
We don't rent out the house. For that
well, for movies.
But oh, okay.
but yeah, you can if you can cook, you know, you can cook some of the food yourself. You can ask people to bring things. People mm-hmm. often do want to bring some stuff as well.
Yeah, I have to say, I think that's a really nice personal touch because you know people say, "Wow, he actually cooked for me." I mean, I think that people like that.
It's more like personal, but also you know that you can go to the supermarket like an upscale supermarket will have really good takeout food. So that you can go and get stuff that a caterer might be about five times the price. But if you go to the supermarket, you can get great stuff there.
Absolutely.
I think people also, employees, get into the idea of bringing stuff, bringing food, and, you know, everybody liquor. Brings something different. Sure. Liquor being one.
People like to bring liquor. People like to bring something, and it kind of includes everybody together. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a nice
And
nice
it's
experience.
A team effort, then.
You can always hold a game show as well. We've had these a lot of employees.
Here we go.
You guys don't like the game
here
show?
Here we go.
Well, they've gone
game show
well.
Number one.
No, I'm. You know, I mean, we've played games before where we find out little known facts about employees. And
oh, yeah.
Like a Jeopardy style game. And it can actually be really funny if you.
It is fun.
I would also suggest, I've been reading in the paper that some companies are combining with other companies to form mass parties, mm-hmm. where they go in and they share the cost of a venue. You could also, if you're doing a party in-house, instead of hiring a DJ, ask one of your employees who are really good at music, someone who's kind of a music aficionado to be the DJ. And also, you don't have to spend a lot of money on the bar. You could do, even though I hated a cash bar, or you could just have beer and wine.
No, no cash bars.
Don't do cash.
I'm against that.
Beer and wine.
I agree with that.
Beer and wine.
Beer and wine. All right, thanks. I hope that gives you some ideas.
Wow, a lot of great ideas. Thank you.
Thanks. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card. All right, Kathy, we may not have a full economic recovery yet, but we have some tips to prepare for that.
That's right here. Six tips, let's say, or five tips to make sure your organization is ready for the improved economy, which economists say is coming down the line. First of all, continue negotiating better terms and rates with your vendors. Service providers have become accustomed to helping clients do more with less, so don't go back to doing things the same way you did prior to the recession. That makes sense. Help your customers have the best possible customer experience, and you should be doing this anyway. Avoid the knee-jerk reaction to raise prices and fees to increase margins. You might lose those customers for good if you do that.
So now is not the time to raise
prices. Now is not the time to do that. Also, loosen your purse strings. In case you missed it, the landscape looks markedly different than it did in August of 2008, and new opportunities have arisen, so you should decide as a company what you want to invest in that would benefit you down the line. This is another good idea, I think. Offer flexible work hours to your team where possible. You might have cut raises, and you may not be ready to reinstitute them, but acknowledging your staff obviously remains critically important, and you should think about flexible work hours or telecommuting where you can give them benefits that might not be monetary, but that would be appreciated.
Absolutely. Work-life balance is important to a
right.
lot of employees.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to put these
now.
Up on our...
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because people are working harder.
We're going to put this on our website, so look for that later. Andy, how confident are small businesses right now?
Well, right now, their confidence is a little bit higher than it had been in the previous two quarters. There's a new survey out from a group called Merchant Circle, and they survey 12,000 small businesses. And they have a sort of small business confidence index, and right now it's a little bit higher than it had been in the previous two quarters and at its highest point since the recession began in December of 2007. Interestingly, though, there are some numbers, some statistics that they found on these businesses' outlook for 2010, which I thought was pretty interesting. 60% of these companies said they expect increasing sales in 2010, so that's a pretty good number. And then specific to this market, 58% of these small businesses say that they're increasing their marketing budget in 2010. So to go along with those increasing sales, their expected increasing sales, they're saying that they're going to market their businesses more, which is good for distributors, but also just a good message to any business out there that, pump up your marketing right now.
Positive economic news.
Yeah.
I like it. Michelle Bell.
Yes.
You're our new moon girl.
I am not a new moon girl, but I am a vampire lover, that's for sure. Am I the only vampire
Who
fan
isn't?
Here?
Yes.
Are you a vampire or a vampire lover?
Well, I know Rich loves True Blood, like I do.
And I'm very pale as well.
You are.
All right. Well, marketers are doing a lot of things, creative things right now for a new moon. Tell us about it.
Ooh.
Do you like the baying wolves? Yeah.
Who's
it's been crazy.
Wow, what was that?
Pipe down, Andy.
So if you guys had to guess how much money New Moon, the Twilight movie New Moon, has raked in so far since it opened on Friday, what would you guess?
$140
million. $275
million. Well, wow. $275
million. Yeah.
That's what you meant.
It's not just U.S.
Opening?
It's
international.
It's international. And it was the second largest opening in the U.S. over the weekend.
Beyond what was the first largest?
I think it was the Spider-Man movie, if memory serves.
Some superhero.
I didn't even hear about that.
But that's a staggering number.
This was several years ago.
Right. No, I understand that.
And experts contribute a lot of the success to a lot of the marketing that that the company did prior to the movie, where they targeted the audience that loved the movie the best, which is tweens and their moms.
And their moms, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my tween saw it over the weekend, but with her dad.
Okay. Did they love it?
Yeah, she liked it a lot.
So companies who really jumped aboard with this were Target, Costco, and Walmart. And what they did was they had vampire weekend parties, twilight parties, where they invited people to come and they gave them little packets full of shirts and bookmarks and totes and bracelets and keychains. And it really generated, kind of off the charts buzz.
Were they
the movie.
Like overnight Were the parties overnight?
Yeah, they were like little slumber parties. Oh, isn't that cute? And like girls brought their moms.
I missed the whole vampire
market. Well, the
market.
Opening was at midnight, right?
Yes, it did. It opened at midnight.
Be. Yeah.
Makes so we covered it in the October issue of Successful Promotions, and it's a great cover story, and it has lots of marketing ideas that can be applied to, obviously, not just this movie, but other things where people want to generate big buzz. So we're going to put that online on asicentral.com/radio, because it's got a lot of great ideas.
You know, these kind of events in conjunction with movie and DVD and book releases are becoming really popular. I remember when the last Harry Potter book came out.
Yes.
They had a midnight party at our local bookstore in mm-hmm. Newtown. And I drove down just because I was curious to see if anyone would show up. And it was mobbed and everybody was dressed up and they were giving out all kinds of promotional products. It was really fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know, event marketing in general is up, which is one of the few categories in like the advertising sector that is actually up this year. So companies are trying to jump on the bandwagon of like one-to-one real marketing, getting in touch with their consumers like in face-to-face venues.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for distributors.
Yeah, totally.
Can I ask you, have you guys seen that you can actually get your teeth shaved into fangs? And
yeah.
Some
what?
Apparently, I already have little fangs.
People are
I
doing
hear.
That? Like going to the dentist to get like fang-shaped
people
teeth?
Are crazy.
You can get a grill, too, but that doesn't mean you have to do it.
And would you like to have fangs?
Not so much.
I think a grill is a little different than the fangs, though.
Well, thank you very much, Michelle.
I think it's all bad.
I know it's trade show season coming Agreed. Up for the promotional product industry.
That's
and
right.
Kathy's going to give us some expert tips on how to build trade show sales.
Well, yeah, trade show season is coming up in January, and you should begin months ahead of time in your planning, obviously. The worst thing you could do is show up at the show, set up your booth, and stand there and wait for people to come to your booth. So invite your prospects way beforehand. Make advance appointments with key customers and prospects with enough meetings to fill your days. At a minimum, send out advance invitations to draw visitors. But here's a tip that distributors should really share with their clients. A Georgia Southern University study found that companies that coupled an invitation with a gift, promotional product, drew larger crowds than those that sent invitations with redeemable coupons or no gift at all. Further, more than 3/4 of trade show attendees retained a favorable impression of the companies that sent them a promotional product. And they definitely did visit those booths. And also, this is a tip, attract those you want and repel those you don't.
How do you repel the ones you don't?
The rule of trade show design is that a person ought to be able to walk by your booth and in 5 or 6 seconds have an idea of what you're selling and whether it applies to them. So yeah. Make it obvious.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I see a big mistake that people make is they have too many ideas and things.
Right.
So it's just, you know, they put all their products out, all kinds of marketing messages.
Right. And then you're just getting nosy people that want samples.
Well, there's
sometimes
that
I've seen with service companies, they put like a gorilla in the booth or something that's not like where
how does a gorilla apply to you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So they put something, it's a concept, but then it's not an easy concept to get if you just stroll by the booth.
Right. So put it out there front and center what you're all about.
The gorilla didn't translate well enough?
Well, like it's gorilla strong or something like that, but not really. You know, like the strongest network there is.
Right.
You
know?
Yeah,
right.
It's not tied in at all.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that statistic you talked about was interesting about giving the gift. And mm-hmm. another effective thing, I think, is giving a small gift with the promise of something, you know, that they can redeem
right.
for
yeah,
something
that's
bigger if they visit
yeah,
the
that's
booth.
Obviously
and
a...
People, you know, obviously get great response mm-hmm. from those types of promotions as well.
Right.
But also doing anything you can to qualify in advance. I don't think that both... both attendees
well,
and exhibitors do enough
right.
of
you
that.
Would qualify the prospects before you sent them that little gift.
Right,
because
for
you
sure.
want them at your booth.
Yeah. Also, follow up. I did a webinar not too long ago where I had experts on, and they said if you don't follow up within the first 3 days after a show, it really becomes difficult.
That's true. A staggering amount in general, a staggering amount of companies do not follow up at all.
And then
I
what
mean,
is
I think
the
I've seen
all.
Numbers
yeah.
as high as 60% or more that don't follow up on leads at all. So what's the, you know,
what's the purpose?
Out on your
why are
the
you
point?
There?
Right.
Yeah. But I think it happens.
I mean, even if you're not doing it yourself, have one of your like customer service reps or whatever follow
somebody,
up with everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely need a follow-up plan. All right. So, Andy, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, what's the best site for business social networking?
Well, what do you think?
LinkedIn.
Yep.
Yeah. I know that's what you're going to say, but I'm going to disagree. But go ahead.
You're going to disagree?
Well, I don't
go
know.
Ahead.
Let's
bring it on.
Tell us what you have
Come
to
on.
Say.
No,
go ahead.
It on.
Tell us what
you
have
you
to
have?
Say. I think more people are on Facebook, but... Obviously,
well, that's most likely true. I'm sure that is true. LinkedIn is the best for a couple of reasons. Let me share a couple that we found in a report. First of all, it's targeted better to businesses. The people that are on there, you can get more quality contacts because you're not wading through friends and family and all those things. It's actually more business related. And then the sort of friends of friends, I know that's a Facebook term, but the friends of the people that you connect with on LinkedIn are more likely to be business contacts than personal contacts. So the targeted and high quality nature of the contacts you can make on LinkedIn are better, certainly. And then updates are more professional. So you don't, you know, you're not looking through pictures of frat parties and drunken updates of friends and things like
Andy
that.
Andy Cohen is anxiously awaiting his pie.
Right. Exactly. While that may be true, it's not necessarily going to help anybody's business. Right. So LinkedIn certainly has some qualities that I think Facebook lacks.
Okay. Rich, what do you think? You're on all those things, right? Twitter, Facebook.
Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
What's your favorite for business?
LinkedIn.
So you agree?
But I mean, I use all three of them. I would say that I don't use any of them like daily. I know that some people will send, I guess, Facebook in mail or whatever it's called on Facebook, and I don't normally get that.
Yeah.
You know, some of them I think automatically link, so I see it in the email.
Right. Michelle, you've been tweeting a lot lately. What have you tweeted about recently?
I tweet about a variety of things. I tweet about, you know, things that we're doing in the office. I recently tweeted about our HR department winning HR Department of the Year. Mm-hmm. When I'm doing a webinar next week, I tweeted about that. And then I just tweet about personal things, too. I think it's important to have a mix in there.
Have a little mix, yeah.
What kind of personal things?
You'll have to be one of her followers, Andy.
Melinda, why do you prefer Facebook?
I don't know. I just think for that business? Everybody's on it. But, you know, I mean, I use it for business and personal, so maybe I just like it. But I think that the most – seems like there's a lot of –
How long do you think it's going to be before there's something that trumps Facebook, like Facebook trumped MySpace?
I don't know. Maybe it'll,
there will be something else.
No one talks about MySpace anymore.
Yeah. No.
All right, guys.
One more thing on Facebook.
Yeah.
There's a trend to watch. Facebook has obviously become – you know, a corporate entity, and people are now brands, big corporate brands are using it to promote their businesses. But Facebook is now monitoring promotions and sweepstakes that brands are doing on Facebook. And any brand that has their own Facebook page has to run any sort of promotion by Facebook first.
Really?
I don't know exactly what they're looking for, and they haven't exactly said what they're looking for. But
or what?
What happens
if they don't?
They won't
do that?
Let you run. They won't let. They'll take it down, I guess.
But you can post anything to Facebook, can't you?
You can, but they can take it down, I guess. I just think that the trend there
seems
is
like they've got a lot of stuff to be monitoring.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah.
I just think that there is a trend increasingly online of things being monitored, and this is just one other thing. The FCC is monitoring, you know, blogs now. So there is an increasing trend on.
So promotions may come under their watchful eye, but you know, Tila Tequila gets to run free.
That's right.
On Facebook. God.
That's right.
All right. Well, now is the time of the year when a lot of managers are giving performance feedback to employees, and Michelle's got some tips today to make that session more productive.
I do. It's more like a list of don'ts, and I won't read the whole list. We'll post those on the website. But the expert here says that many people put off giving feedback to employees, even though they know intuitively that they should be doing so, because a lot of people just don't like to give criticism or to have uncomfortable conversations with their employees. So here are some things not to do. Don't speak out only when things are wrong. Give consistent commentary. Drive-by praise without specifics isn't good. So just to walk by somebody and say, hey, great job. Employees really need to know what they're doing well. You shouldn't wait until performance or behavior is substantially below expectations before acting on it. So if you have a problem with somebody who, I don't know, wanders all day, perhaps you'd want to, you know, talk to them early on.
That's a broad term. Wanders.
Giving negative feedback in public, never good. Pull the employee into an office. No follow-up afterward. If you're going to sit an employee down and give them specific critiques or comments, give them a time and say, you know what, next month let's meet again and we'll talk about how you're doing. And lastly, not having regularly scheduled performance review meetings. And this is something I think some companies that I've talked to recently, it's surprising to me how many people haven't gotten their reviews because everybody's so busy and things just keep getting pushed back and back and back. But these experts say that it's really important to try to carve out some time because employees really need that, especially in the shaky economy. Mm-hmm. They just need constant feedback. So again, we'll put this list on our website.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Andy, you've got the top 10 best performing cities of 2009. Now tell me that Omaha made the list.
No, they didn't make the list. Sorry. Wait, let me make sure. No.
No.
They're out.
So what is this list?
Because we have nothing to do with Omaha. It is a list, a report that ranks the top U.S. metros based on their ability to create and sustain jobs.
Okay,
so it's kind of a jobs, yeah. But that is obviously an indicator as to economic health.
Wait. Let's everybody guess number one.
Austin.
All right, Rich, what do you say?
Well, I was going to say Austin, but Seattle, I don't know.
I'm going to say Raleigh-Durham.
I say Austin.
Austin's a big winner.
Oh, you already knew.
I only know because Sandra Bullock moved there.
Here's the interesting thing, actually. Four out of the top five are in Texas.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
Austin is number one. Then a metro area, Temple and Fort Hood, Texas. Mission, Texas, and Houston also.
What's up with Texas?
Why do you think that is?
Don't mess with Texas.
No laws.
This actually,
no, I mean, there's no laws against business. It's very pro-business.
It is very pro-business. And also, it's big in the oil and gas sector, which has obviously thrived.
And so low taxes or no state income tax? Or low
state
income tax?
Well, cost of living, I think, is pretty good as well.
Yeah. It's definitely business friendly.
And Austin, because it's by UT.
Right.
Yep. So it's got great smart people there.
And good high tech. That's a good high tech area.
So what are the other cities?
Salt Lake City is number three. That's the only non-Texas city in the top five.
Okay.
And then we go to Durham, North Carolina, Olympia, Washington, Huntsville, Alabama, Lafayette, Louisiana, and you nailed one of them earlier.
Omaha.
No. You said Raleigh.
Oh, yeah.
Raleigh, North Carolina is the
of
number
technology?
10. I think it is. Yeah. That's also
the triad.
Yes. It's a big banking area as well.
And university.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's hopefully there's good opportunities for distributors living in those areas.
Yeah, we'll put that list on asicentral.com/radio.
Thank you, Andy. Now, some people call Michelle a bad girl, and apparently that can be good for your career. Is that right, Michelle?
Do some people call me that? Rich, would you say that I'm a bad girl?
No, you're not.
See that?
You're a good girl, Michelle.
That was so nice of you.
So what's
well,
up
in some cases, I would say, you know, it's a little step not to be the bad, but to be kind of the contrary voice isn't necessarily a bad thing. For example, when someone needs to stand up for what you think is right for the company or a team, it could be that person. And a lot of times people don't want to be the lone voice to stand up and give a contrary opinion. So the person who does that can really speak for the group, but, you know, a lot of people don't have the
You could say it.
The cojones to do that.
Well, it's funny because Colin Powell said that exact thing last. That's what he does for an employee. He likes the contrarian voice.
It takes a person of strong stuff to do that, and also to have a comfort level with your boss to do that.
Sure.
That you don't think there's going to be repercussions.
If you're confident too, if you're confident in your abilities and what you're bringing to the company, you're not afraid to disagree.
Sure. Another one is, and I think Andy and I do this a lot, is to play devil's advocate. Of course, we cloak that in being, you know,
Captain Killjoy.
But you know,
somebody's got to bring the devil voice,
especially when new ideas
are
discussed.
You can catch that in a nice way, though.
You can when new ideas or initiatives are being discussed. I think it's important, as do the experts, to have people sitting around a table saying, "This all sounds great, but let's not forget X, Y, Z, and let's discuss how you know they may be problematic." So there are other great examples here, and we'll post those online. So being bad isn't necessarily a bad thing. It can be good.
I have something I'd like to add to that.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask people.
Boy?
No.
Okay.
Just compared to you, though.
Okay.
if you have nine people
right.
say that yes, and one person says no,
right?
Who's right?
The person that says no.
Melinda?
Why? I would
Andy?
Want to know why they're saying no.
Well, I don't know.
No, you can't know anymore. That's it. You're on the fence, but you have to finally say no. I think that
if I had to choose, I'd go with no as well.
No, and what about you, Michelle?
I really can't have any more information. Then I guess I'd go with no.
No, I mean, I think that it depends on your point of view, because some people believe that the person that says that the answer is the no person is right is because they say, well, it's so hard to go against the majority,
right.
Then that person is probably better informed.
Mm-hmm.
And other people would say that, well, the nine people definitely are right, and this one person's a weirdo, and he says no. It's just a different point of view.
Well, but there always is a naysayer, though. There may be someone – it depends on your group or department, but there may be someone who always says no.
Aren't you lucky to have two, Melinda?
But no. Naysayers are good, though, because it gets everybody thinking.
They are, but if their answer is always no, then it's not as much value.
Yeah, see, Andy?
Well, who's to say that the eight people
different.
Aren't the
that's
lemmings, though?
Though?
Aren't the just
no,
you know the
be.
No? That,
the sheep
I, to me, it's an interesting question because I always get interesting answers.
What's your
know,
answer
from it? I I think because I have a science background, I think that I believe the no person is right, because most of the times in science that, like Galileo, you know, was right, and he was the naysayer against the Catholic Church, among other people as well, and Copernicus and, you know, Christopher Columbus, and, you know, just tons of discoveries have been made on scientific side. Normally, it's a person that changes the status quo is correct. But I would say that in social situations, I think normally the people that say yes are right.
Well, there you have it. Now, Thanksgiving is in a couple of days, and in honor of that, Kathy is going to conclude today by telling us how to create a more grateful workplace.
Yeah, well, you know, even if in tough times, most of us have a lot to be thankful for every day, right?
Absolutely.
But we don't really think about that. We think about how we can complain, but let's stop doing that and say thanks.
Let's stop Thank doing you. That.
Thanks, Rich.
Let's
thanks
all say yes.
You.
Stop it, Captain Killjoy.
So say thanks when someone does something kind for you, whether it's your boss, your coworker, or a stranger. Recognize it. A simple thanks will do, and it actually makes everybody feel better. Adopt an it's the thought that counts attitude, too, because sometimes your boss will put something, some kind of plan into place, and you'll find something to complain about. But look for the positives, and remember that she or he is trying to be helpful and you know, appreciative. Communicate openly and honestly. If it's gratitude you need, tell somebody. Melinda, you know. You could
How
say thanks once
thanks?
In a while.
Yeah. A little thanks, please.
Thank you.
And also, this is important. Be prepared for some kind words. A lot of people feel uncomfortable when people compliment them, you know, or tell them good job. You're like, yeah, whatever. You know, it was nothing. Be prepared for those compliments
yeah,
and take them.
That's true, right. actually. Yeah.
So it goes both ways. Give them and be able
so,
to receive
like,
them.
Good job, Kathy.
Thank you, Rich.
You're very welcome.
See, that was perfect modeling. Good
That's
job.
That's right.
Well, in that spirit, thank you to all my wonderful radio show hosts and to Vinny and Steve and Rich. And thanks to all of our wonderful listeners. And thanks to today's show sponsor.
Wow.
That was better than I could do. ESP Online. Check us out next Tuesday, same time, same place. And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Wow. I think